This is WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons, that was a hand-chosen clip from Ted Johnson there. Disgusted Mel Kiper was.
Apoplectic?
Yeah.
Good word. He was
a good
apoplectic.
Word. Ted's word of the day.
Oh, my.
Apoplectic.
I've never seen Mel Kiper. It was like that was his son getting passed over.
Felt personal, right?
Oh, I have
never. It was like
never.
His entire reputation felt like it was staked to that day.
For real? I was like, why? I mean, he went on a diatribe the night that happened, or, you know, the draft night, whatever, Saturday, and it was like, why is it, this feels so personal to Mel Kiper, and part of it might be, then you look, and I asked you, you know, off air, where did Mel Kiper have Shador ranked as his overall prospect?
Five.
Number five.
Much higher than most in terms of prospect rankings.
So if you just go the value chart, the Browns got a good value if you go by Mel Kiper's ranking.
Great value.
But I couldn't believe how personal, and he's... The NFL doesn't know anything about quarterbacks. Like, Mel, have you always been right on all your prospects?
No, we're all wrong.
What makes you an expert in quarterbacking in the NFL, bro?
Bill Belichick, whoever you want to say was a good drafter or a bad drafter, they all had home runs and they all had swings and misses. That's the nature of the beast.
There's enough out there that tells you why he went where he went.
So can we agree? So Mel is like, never in the history of my board has a player that high dropped that far. Can we agree that Shador Sanders is very unique? The totality of the situation, his career, his skill set, his personality, his dad. All of that is, he's like a one of one.
You
got
to factor all of that in.
Yeah.
It's a perfect storm of polarization.
No doubt.
Right. And so for Mel to act like they screwed him or he's right and they're wrong. So Dan Ball gave me some stats. These are interesting. And then we're going to get into some of the factors of why he fell.
Correct.
Like, there's reasons.
Factors that people haven't really talked much about.
And you can put blinders on and pretend whatever. There are reasons. But so Dan Ball, from 2005 to 2024, 33 QBs were selected in the fifth round, where Shador Sanders went, which is two rounds after Dylan Gabriel, his rookie teammate with the Browns. Another layer of weirdness to the whole thing in Cleveland.
Yeah.
18 of the 33 have started an NFL game. So more than half started an NFL game of those fifth-round quarterbacks drafted. Their combined record is 36-87.
Oof.
That's not great.
Oof.
Bad. That's not great.
Thought it might actually be worse, but not great, Bob.
Wow. Their combined TD to interception ratio is 125 for TDs. You're like, that's not bad, right? That's a lot of TDs.
Mm-hmm.
To 166 interceptions. That's an upside down number no one likes.
That's a 3-4. It's not a great ratio.
Yeah, not great. You're supposed to be 2-1. That's 3-4. So will Shador Sanders start? Absolutely. Like, I'd be stunned if he doesn't. Unless something really crazy happens, he'll start. They don't have a starting quarterback.
Doll hands is not starting. The massage therapist is not starting. It's either old man Flacco or Sanders, because Dylan Gabriel is smaller than my 7-year-old.
But he was drafted, what, two rounds in front of him?
Yes. That's weird.
So wait a minute. But is Flacco, is he hurt? Is he coming off an injury? Or no, is he fine?
No, I think he's fine.
What makes you think that Flacco won't start?
He's 172.
Okay. That guy.
He never should have left in the first place. That being said, he gets, actually, Ted, he operated the Kevin Stefanski offense better than any quarterback has since Stefanski became a head coach.
Yes, Dan Ball.
He also won the 2023 NFL Comeback Player of the Year award for being old and playing for the Jets.
Yeah. That is true. Two
terrible things to have going against you, Dan.
Ted, why did Shador Sanders fall?
Well, there's a lot of theories out there. The biggest two, the two biggest that are kind of thrown out there right away is just the way he approached the draft. In particular, he didn't approach the draft process like a guy that is a good quarterback, but maybe not a great quarterback, right? He didn't participate in any events in the combine. He didn't do the All-Star games. Those are two big knocks against him. And then just his overall attitude. He didn't interview well. Those are kind of the main things that come out there. Well, I was looking at Burt Breer, SI.com, had a couple other anecdotal stories in regards to why Shador might have fallen. And I just want to read you these two examples that he gives, and then see what you guys think. So he said this about Shador. A lot of times in combine meetings, teams will have a player's worst plays ready for him when he enters the room. And along those lines, one had a particularly rough interpretation a rough interception teed up for Sanders in Indianapolis. When asked to explain it, Sanders didn't take blame, and as they dove deeper into it and how it might relate to the at the NFL level, Sanders simply concluded that maybe he and the staff he was talking to might not be a match.
There's a good idea.
Yeah. There's one.
So and there's 32 employers maximum, and not all of them really need quarterbacks. But let's just say, and you're like, you know what? I'm going to cross you off.
I'm good.
You don't cross me off the list. I'll cross you off the list.
Ahead of another visit, he got an install with mistakes intentionally planted in it, done to see if the quarterback would catch them. Sanders didn't catch them. A coach called him out on it, and the resulting exchange wasn't pretty. So, I mean, you
two teams off the board.
You're spending all this money, and then I've heard things about some of the activities that he was doing in that week leading up to the Alamo Bowl. Mm. If I heard about it, NFL teams heard about it, and it's, you know, I don't know, the flashy cars, the jewelry, they built a draft room just for him. For the night of the draft. That's all. Hey, that's fine. He can do whatever he wants. The teams are investing a lot of money in this player. And if they're.
How'd that game go, by the way?
We got our asses kicked by BYU,
yeah,
man.
36-14.
Pummeled by BYU. So, I mean, that's the stuff you care about. You care about that stuff just as much as you care about the on-field talent.
So I was
when it comes to that position.
I was told that Wiggy was kind of ranting this morning that Shadur is clean. Like, there's no, I guess, arrests, whatever.
Yeah,
I didn't hear
it
live.
Arrest,
but Wiggy, Ted has heard stories. I can tell you I have heard stories. I can't validate them, so I'm not going to share the stories, but I have heard stories. You don't think the 32 NFL teams that have like ex-FBI agents doing investigations have not only heard stories, but have investigated those and found out where the truth is. So to say he's like this squeaky clean prospect, he is not, both football-wise and activities-wise. And you know what he kind of reminds me of in a little way?
What?
A talentless or a less talented Mike Vick. Because we all know Mike Vick admitted later in his career, like, yeah, I didn't really watch film and I didn't really do the things you need to do to be a quarterback and had some issues. He was the fastest guy I've ever seen with the strongest arm I've ever seen. Huh. The damnedest thing is he got drafted in the first round. He went number one overall, right? Like, when you have that freakish ability, it can cover some of the warts. Shadur has the baggage and also has mediocre arm, mediocre pocket presence. There's a lot of people, me included, that believe he hit his ceiling at Colorado. Good career at Colorado. Didn't warrant his jersey being retired, but good career at Colorado. But that's
13-12 doesn't merit a number retirement?
No, it's weird. Damnedest thing. And your last game was a 36-14 blowout after you may have enjoyed yourself a little too much before the bowl game during the week in the Alamo.
Do you guys think do you think he deserved to go in the fifth round? Because I don't. I think he showed enough on tape to be a third rounder.
Bingo, Ted.
And then just because of the baggage, he went in the fifth round.
Absolutely. And I also want to throw in there, Fitzy, do you remember the visual when he was drafted? Did it look like they wanted Shadur?
That was crazy.
No, the only thing I remember was that graphic of the dog bone bouncing around in the stadium.
That was gross.
But it looked like
a gentleman's hockey bag. Yes, we know what it looked like.
I have a theory about that, too.
So I have a theory, too. I don't think they wanted him. I don't think Andrew Berry and Stefanski and the football people wanted him. I think the owners said, this is too good a value. This is too good a would-be star. I think that was a pick forced upon them by somebody outside of the war room.
Come on, no way.
Yeah.
Or it was just like, guys, we don't have a starting quarterback. We can't validate not selecting him at this point.
Let's take a flyer.
But here's where I push. You don't trade up. They traded up for him.
You do if the owner tells you to.
But you say someone outside the room.
Yeah, the owner.
Jimmy Haslam is great at making personnel decisions with the Browns.
I think the owner...
I thought you meant
from
the NFL.
No, I meant like the war room people. I meant like Andrew Berry and Stefanski and the football
people. Okay, gotcha.
I think the owner overstepped and said,
Fitzy,
no, we're doing this.
Fitzy, what did you just say? Because
Jimmy Haslam is so great at making personnel and QB decisions for the Browns.
I didn't say it'll work, but he's the boss. He gets to make whatever mistake he wants, and he can make them over and over again.
Didn't he want Johnny Manziel?
Yeah.
That's the funny thing.
Everyone else gets fired. You're the owner. You can screw up 100 times in a row, and you'll get a 101st opportunity.
I can guarantee you, I don't know her name right off the top, but the lady who is the VP of player personnel out there, who's so hyper-articulate and explained all of their selections early on and why they made the decision to trade away the opportunity to take Travis Hunter. I can guarantee you she's far from enamored with all the off-field antics, the pedigree, the ice, the draft, the war room, everything.
Well, and don't,
I mean, he's a guys, it is not just, you're not just getting a player who might turn into a decent NFL starter at best, in my estimation. What the hell do I know? But you are getting the whole entourage, the dad, the tweets. Great. Now, you know what the Cleveland Browns need? The president tweeting about them more. That'll help.
You know, it's a side note to the Cleveland Browns. They moved back to Cleveland in 1999.
Hmm.
They've had 40 different starting quarterbacks.
Disaster.
That guy's running out 40. Of room on the world's most famous football jersey.
And the insane. The biggest disaster was the most recent. Like, you couldn't have a bigger disaster than Deshaun Watson. No. And that's the other issue here is whatever you think Shadur is or will be or the circus, like, do you really want to bring that to the town that just had the Deshaun Watson situation?
It's
almost like
that makes sense.
You
man.
Want Joe Flacco and then like a rookie version of Joe Flacco, some boring, simple
Tyler Shuck would have been perfect for them.
Yes, probably something like
a strong-armed,
that.
Strong-armed, unassuming dude who just could learn from someone like Flacco, old Heave Ho Joe, who's been there and done that a couple times. I do not this volume approach. Of doll hands, the masseuse, old man Flacco, Tiny Dylan, and Shadur in the hangover, or the headache. I like, please, Hard Knocks, NFL hey. Films, answer our prayers. Put Hard Knocks there this summer.
Any guess so what Mel Kiper gave his grade for the draft of the Cleveland Browns?
A plus,
baby. He gave the Cleveland Browns an A plus.
I'm surprised it was only one
on.
Plus.
Let me see, Ted, I have Bleacher Report.
That's unbelievable.
Well, they deserve an A. In his world, if you took the fifth best player overall in the fifth round, how can you get anything but an A? You took a Hall of Fame talent in the fifth round.
Bleacher Report didn't give them an A, and they gave out seven.
Well, I mean, they're a little bit, they were less emotionally involved in the Shadur Sanders trajectory. Dan Ball, did you have something?
Yeah, so we landed on he's probably not a fifth round talent. Teddy, where'd you land on second, third round?
Third round.
Maybe, you know, fringe starter, could be a backup.
Yep.
Jury's still kind of out on what he is, right?
Yep.
So for a backup, you kind of need a certain mentality, right? You're kind of a we over me type
listening
guy.
Listen to Joe Milton. Listen to Dan Ball here. Go ahead.
Humble and hungry, Dan Ball.
And I'm asking you because you obviously can speak to this much more than I can. So, does this sound like the kind of mindset that a backup quarterback would want to have?
If you ain't trying to change the franchise or the coach, then don't give me. So you should know history repeats itself over and over and over, and I've done it over and over and over. So it should be no question why NFL franchise should pick me.
That was
done what? Done what over and over and over? Gone 13-12, blew a bowl game, like didn't win anything. We're overhyped to start 2 years of major college football and then petered out.
Validated all the doubters' doubts about you?
A legend in his own mind.
It's sad because he comes by it honestly, right? He comes by it honestly.
Yeah, but Dion could back it up.
Well, No, that's the sad part is that he's doesn't have a fraction of the talent his dad has,
right.
But he's acting just like his dad did when he was coming into the NFL.
The sense of entitlement, and, you know, this is a layer we haven't really brought up, but I know there's been a lot of people talking about now, is Deion Sanders the next head coach of the Browns? Are they going to struggle? And then the Haslams bring in Deion Sanders because he might struggle at Colorado.
If I'm Stefanski, I'm worried about it.
Yeah, you should be. You should all be worried, especially if I'm right and there was some pressure or just a forcing to make this pick. Like, okay, I can read the writing on the wall. I'll, you know, start to put my house on the market.
Does this humble him? Does this because if you ask Mel Kiper, he's going to still be a star, even though he's just – Does this impact what his NFL career is going to look like ultimately?
No. I mean, if it was a lot of people, like Tom Brady, you know,
if he was the fifth overall pick, he'd still be a washout.
Yeah, I don't because I think he is who he is at this point in his development. You said it, like college coaches develop the boys, and there's a more important role in that. He's a professional now. The bulk of the development in terms of character and who you are has already been done.
Man, didn't they see this movie already with like Johnny Manziel?
Yeah.
Because I mean, I thought Shadur had one of those workouts. I thought Johnny Manziel had one of the best workouts I've ever seen. Yeah. And what does that mean?
You know,
it doesn't mean anything.
You know what creates bad decisions? Desperation. And they're desperate. They don't have a quarterback, and a guy that at least some people thought could have been a first-round pick is available. So throw him in the room, and maybe we catch lightning in a bottle, and maybe we're wrong, and maybe he's going to have a chip on his shoulder and prove the world wrong and be the greatest fifth-round quarterback that ever lived. Yes, Diz.
And you think he definitely will be starting for the Browns this year?
Oh, I don't know about – yeah, at some point. At as some long point, as you put yeah. the at
he
some
gets
point.
At least one start.
Yeah, but probably, then he'll wash yeah. out. So you're saying he'll yeah. start, but then he
– yeah, yeah, it won't go well. Won't he'll throw well. Intercept. He'll join this crew where he'll throw, you know, two interceptions for one touchdown.
Well, at least he's faced so much adversity in his collegiate career, so he'll know how to handle that.
Well, also, it's
you know what? Honestly, and in life, Dan, it feels yeah. like this guy has just never gotten a fair shake.
Started from the bottom. Now we're here.
And why? And I have to tell you, why is that important? Because football, every practice, every play is about overcoming obstacles and struggle. There's nothing's perfect. You have to. How do you react to it?
Right.
How do you overcome it? Play in, play out. Game in, game out. If he hasn't been hardened to that kind of feeling, it won't be good.
Won't I love your good. Noises sometimes. 617-779-7937. Shedeur Sanders to the Browns. We're reacting to that. But up next, I want to wrap in a little comments from Patriots draft weekend. I thought we were done with good guys, that they were drafting good guys. And then I listened to Ryan Cowden on Saturday afternoon, I believe it was. And I think we're back to putting some angels in the locker room at Gillette Stadium. So Ryan Cowden's comments about how the Patriots went about drafting this past weekend. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons, talking NFL draft, talking Patriots, talking Red Sox. We talked about everything. We'll get back to Bill Belichick and his interview and his choices in life. He's not making good choices. He's like a bad preschooler. He's making
well,
bad
curious,
choices. Bad. Is curious a synonym for bad?
Didn't know in it certain was. Circles, yes.
Dan Ball, quick update, though. Yeah. Out of the statement watch desk, do we have any statement from Jordan? She promised it. I got to think it was about 4+ hours ago now. She promised a statement was forthcoming. Where is it?
She did, and she has not provided okay. yet. So ooh. I've been following at Jordan on Instagram. Nothing new other than that conspicuous repost of the video of the autograph that she got from Bill that definitely wasn't forged.
Yes.
So nothing there.
Good Lord. Does Jordan have a publicist? She might need a publicist.
Yes. Or maybe somebody from North Carolina stepped in and said, okay, what are we doing? Like maybe there's a damage control
meeting. Hey guys, can I tell you honestly, I have seen certain Patriots fans on at the X platform today, not the Andy Hart WEI Afternoons poll of the day. Like Pats fans have been putting up. There's one I saw that it was like, at this point, do you believe Bill Belichick coaches a game for UNC? There were a couple of hundred respondents. It was split 50-50.
Oh, yeah. No, that is Ted Johnson was the head of the curve on this. I believe you'll be able to hear audio from Ted on NBC Sports Boston tonight. They seem to be picking it up, and it's only moments from now that it'll be going viral. I believe in Australia they'll be talking about Ted Johnson calling for Bill Belichick to no longer be the head coach. I did want to get to Ryan Cowden. First of all, we had a clarification, and I don't know where I saw this, and it could explain, because remember we were like, Ryan Cowden's talking. Why is Ryan Cowden talking? Elliot Wolf's talking.
It's the first time.
Campbell's talking.
First time he's talked.
And I don't know if this explains it or not. Apparently the rule in the NFL is at draft weekend, the top two personnel people, based on whatever your hierarchy is, have to speak, have to be available. So for years, I think that's why Bill Belichick was the GM. And also Nick Caserio, whoever else, Scott Pioli talks. So that fulfills your top two. Hmm. So maybe technically Mike Vrabel isn't the GM, so therefore you had to provide Elliot Wolf and Ryan Cowden as the top two guys in your personnel department. I don't know. I don't know if that explains it or not. Yes, Dan Ball.
And during the NFL draft, teams are required to hold a pre-draft news conference with their head coach, general manager, and or player personnel director.
Right. So yep. I think that's why we're getting him. Also, it could be that eventually they're going to push Elliot Wolf out the door and Ryan Cowden is
going
to.
No, come on.
I think Vrabel, he wants him talking. I think he wants people to get to know this guy. And I just think he wants to flex his boy a little bit, you know?
So one of the things we talked about with this draft class, Fitzy, was the number of captains, good guys, representative football players, I don't know, people not like Shedeur Sanders that were drafted by the Patriots that fulfilled a lot of on- and off-field criteria. Ryan Cowden talked about this, and we continue to ebb and flow this offseason. Remember, Vrabel wanted good guys in the huddle, and then he kept saying, well, you're not just going to win with good guys. You got to have talented guys. Yeah. Ryan Cowden came back the other way post-draft talking about the class they put together here in New England. Classic.
From free agency and now through the draft, there's a they're not always going to be perfect and fit exactly to the criteria, but the most that we can sit there and talk about that we're adding guys who love playing football, guys who are great teammates. We all want talented players, we do. But there's an idea here that can't be overstated enough, is that if you don't get the person right, then a lot of that other stuff can go to the wayside. And I think we've been trying to be very intentional about the people, about some of the people to build the foundation that Coach Vrabel and his vision has here for this football team. That started in free agency, and that's been a major emphasis for us as we've gotten into this draft process.
I thought that was a pretty strong answer. You have to be intentional about getting good people. You got to get the person right before you can get the player right.
That's my general manager.
Yeah. Oh, you like that?
You like that.
Yeah.
Love it.
You like that right up until they're 3-7.
Hold on, Dan, though, but flesh that out. What do you like about it?
First of all, I like the confidence in the way that he answered the question, but I am fully of the belief that Wolf's days are numbered, and Vrabel wants Cowden to run personnel for the Patriots in the very near future.
But
so
what,
I'm going to continue
makes us
that.
All, sorry, Dan, I didn't mean to step on your toes there, but like, what makes us believe that Elliot Wolf would just get completely kicked to the curb or just told to kick rocks or, you know, a bindle over his shoulder as he walks down the railroad tracks? Like, why can't he still stick around? If this draft works out as well as we think, and it was a cooperative union, then, you know, Cowden can slightly usurp the titles and power of Wolf, but why would he leave if they start to build momentum or get a good thing going, guys?
Yeah, I think if it goes well, you're probably not going to run Elliot Wolf out of town. If this draft is what everybody says it is, A plus,
GPA, you're fire.
You know, you drafted 5 starters and all these contributors, and if you hit on it, then no, I don't think Elliot Wolf is going anywhere. But at the first sign of there's issues in personnel, or even I'll add free agency. You know, if there's some free agent misses, if Milton Williams can't play more, right? They're asking him to like double his playing time from what he was in Philly, and that doesn't work out, and you blew $100 million. The scapegoat, or however you want to phrase it, in my opinion, will be Elliot Wolf. That's where Vrabel says, okay, now let's really do it my way, and my way is Cowden's way.
And I think that's the right way. And if I could just tell people that we're talking about the right people. It's when I talked to Mike over the last year or whatever it was, 2 years ago, when he was inducted in the Hall of Fame, and we had a moment, just him and I hanging out, the night of the ceremony, and he was just like, I want my teams to be like the teams that we played on. So I'm just going to think about, okay, so he's trying to make the teams like, you know what, the teams we play on, we were good people, we're football men a lot. Football was important to them. They had high compete levels, but they were good dudes. Willie Mack, great dude. Ty Law, good dude. Troy Brown, good dude. I could go on and on. Good dudes, but very, very competitive and loved football, all of them. So that's the profile you're trying to kind of make with your football team.
I think the love of football, Fitzy, is the biggest thing, and we're coming up to the break here. But in this modern NIL era, coaches have always said that, how important is football? Football is going to be one of the top priorities in your life, all of that. I think it's even more so now because they're making money. They're living the star life. Hell, some in high school, but then certainly in college. Yep. And you said this in the minivan, Ted, the minivan commute in Green Bay. You said it's hard to play football if you aren't like dedicated to it, aren't invested, aren't enjoying it, because it's such a tough – you can't just show up and play football, right?
Nope.
And you need people that care about football. Did they get those? I don't know. We'll find out. Also, they need to also be good. They need to care about football, and then while caring about it, be able to run and catch and block and tackle and do all the things. So we'll see how this draft class goes, but they were intentional about bringing good people to New England. Now we got to get back to Bill Belichick. Because Bill Belichick, we're awaiting the statement from Jordan. We're wondering, has Jordan been superseded by somebody at North Carolina? Ted Johnson is going to remind you what he thinks about Bill Belichick's job security at North Carolina. All that and more. All things Bill Belichick and this debacle next here on WEEI Afternoon.
Not talking about this.